Accession number 20504, Reel 2.
Taffy Bonner, Reel 2.
Yeah, and what he did was he went round and come back again and flew over the ship, and he did the roll. That means he was flying upside down, and we thought he was giving us a salute to us. So we landed at Folkestone, and I must say the British public, especially the women and that of the different organisations, treated us great. They all seen that we had plenty to eat, cigarettes, and the trains was waiting for us. Well, I had to get on a train that went to Devizes.
Could I just stop you there? Yeah. And could I just go over one or two things to clarify what you've said?
Yeah.
You were saying about this time when the mole was breached, when it was broken.
Yeah.
And you said that there was a destroyer sunk at the same time?
There was a destroyer sunk at the same time, yeah. Because the destroyer had just pulled in. And it was loaded with troops. And she had to direct it down the funnel.
Did you know the name of the destroyer?
No, I didn't. I mean, some say it was the Westminster, and they've got a new one now. They've got a new, because I've been on it and had lunch with a 12 of us, had lunch with the captain. And
where were you when the destroyer was sunk?
I was on the landing, on the mall. I was going to get on it, on that boat. But we saw another Western boat, so the next thing we had, we jumped in the water. And when we jumped in the water, that's where we saw the barge thing, and we thought that, surely that's not good. But they took us and they landed us in England, and we were very, very pleased with what they did for us. And she must have been well in her 70s.
Was her husband on the barge with her?
They were on the barge with her, yeah. Mm. And
did you speak to her?
Yeah, she was swearing in that when the old plane came up, and she was using the Brent gun. None of the soldiers, they were too tired, but she was using, and the thing, she was calling him, you know. But
what was her husband doing?
Well, he was looking to the steering of the ship, you know, the barge. It's only ordinary barge, you know, like what they used to move rubbish from some of the docks in the up London, you know, in one of them big docks. Because it's a funny thing, I was on the cab. I go out with the black cabs, you know, for day trips. They take us out. And I was on this cab and I was talking to this cabbie, and he was saying that he'd heard of her, and he knew the lady, he said, but he said, I think she's died now, he said. He said he knew the lady, he knew the woman that, you know, that was on the barge.
What was the name of the barge?
I don't know what name of the barge. I've looked in the book to see if I can find it, but I couldn't find it, and you know, because there's a lot of names left out of that book, you know.
How did she know how to fire a Bren gun?
Well, I mean, it's easy. I mean, it was already loaded. I know she held it up to her shoulder and let him off, you know.
And the plane attacked the barge?
No, it didn't attack the barge. It came down over the barge, and as it went to the end of the bar, it went upside down. Well, that is, with the air force, that's a salute. And we didn't know whether the salute was for him himself or for us, you know. But it was, and I was only thinking the other day, now these little ships, they were ready to go over to Dunkirk for the 60th anniversary, but they couldn't go over because the weather was too bad. Now, if the weather had been like that when we were there, we'd have never got over, because them little ships couldn't have been come out. But we think that I mean the weather was beautiful, and the sea was like a mill pond. Now, if that had been rough weather, we'd have never got away at all.
Did you come over in daylight?
No, nighttime. Nighttime. Mm. Well, just getting dusk, you know. Because what was on the, sitting on the railway, wasn't it, was three Germans, and they were munching food. And one bloke that was on the tug with us had just lost his brother, and he went berserk, and he hit the Germans, and the Redcoats caught hold of him, and tried to stop him, and our blokes were shouting, "Leave him alone!" Because if they'd tried to stop him, the blokes of the state they were in the boat, they'd have started, you know. And the police come and got it all covered up. But I suppose it was emotion that the fellow had lost his brother. And there it was.
So these were German prisoners?
German prisoners, yeah.
How many of them were there?
There was about four of them.
And where was this? In the barge?
No. They were sitting on the station, seats. They were handcuffed and all that, you know, and there was a red cap with them, yeah.
Were they German soldiers or airmen?
No, soldiers they were, yeah, because they did bring some of the soldiers over with them, some jerrys that was caught, you know. And I went to Devizes, and we got picked up from Devizes, and I went to Scarborough, that's right, yeah. And I stayed in Scarborough. And then I left for Scarborough. And I went I joined the 8th Army at Egypt. And then we went from there through Tunisia. And then we went from Tunisia across the Messina Straits into Sicily.
Did you see any fighting in North Africa?
Yes. This is where we're going now. We're going into Sicily, and then we went into Reggio Calabria, which is the toll of Italy, and we was on the Big Butler Casino.
What, can you tell me the details about casino, please?
Well, the casino, there was there was the Americans, there was the Polish, and there was the British. Well, the first attack was the Polish went in. They took it, and they handed it over to the Yanks. The Yanks lost it, and the British took it. And that was like that every now and then. The British would take it, because, and we wondered why he got us pinned down. But the thing was, he had every gun that was up at that casino on fixed lines. You know, he didn't have to go out of his place, just pulled a wire and fired the guns. And
which unit were you with at that casino?
I was with the 22nd Field, the same regiment that the Yeah, and
and what rank did you have at that time?
Only a bombardier. I didn't want another medal or that, because I was on the old rate of pay, and I would get no more being a sergeant as a bombardier, and a bombardier was the best job to have.
Why?
Well, it was you didn't have the responsibility to take, and I mean, I was quite pleased with what I was doing. I was number three on the gun, and I mean, I did the firing and that, and the elevations and that. So, I mean, I was all right. And that's the medals I've got there.
And did you still have the 25 pounders?
Yes, yes, yes. That was the finest gun going. I mean, you could rely on it and... You could rely on it and it was one of the finest guns that we've ever used anyway.
Did the Germans have inferior guns to that?
Oh, yeah, they had a 88mm. And that was spot on. But it had, mind you, for firing, I don't think it had beat the 25-pounder.
And can you tell me any of the details of the action you were in at Casino, please?
Yeah, well, it was... we were with the artillery. We pulled in action. We dropped in action. We dropped the gun. We were a six-gun battery. And we dropped the guns. And, of course, we fired a barrage with 11,000 guns went off one night when they made the big attack on the casino. There was 11,000 guns from all different types of guns. First of all, the light guns started off, and then they went all through the range of guns. And we thought, well, that'll settle him. And he still fired back. He still used his 88mm to find his back. And it was the Poles that went in, and the British, and took Casino. They took Casino. And that's why there's a bit of an up and down with they named us the D-Day Dodgers, because we weren't on D-Day, like, see. Because we were in Italy, and we were holding him in Italy while they were making the invasion. If we hadn't been holding him in Italy, they'd have had more to do with the invasion. But I think that, well, there's a lot of people, they keep on saying that we didn't do nothing on the invasion. Well, we couldn't, because we was holding him at Casino, and he couldn't shift his troops from the casino. So... But there's a lot more, but I forget it now, you know. I'm in 88, I mean, it's over 60 years, I mean, I can know the best.
But at Casino, were you getting casualties in your unit from enemy counterfire?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you would get it was nothing to get a gun crew blown up, I mean. When you're in war, I mean... You take that and it's coming. It's like everyday life. I mean, you get up in the mornings and we sleep with the gun, you know, and then you wake up in the morning, and then somebody else goes to keep, and they're keeping while them guns are firing. You know, but
was Casino the worst fighting that you were in the war?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, the infantry, they lost a hell of a lot of people, because they're right up the front line. I mean, we're about 6 miles back, you know. And I mean, but they did suffer. And I had a mate, and he was in the North Hampshire Fusiliers, and we used to always be arguing. He was saying that. We used to be coming along the road with all the big lorries, he said, all covered in nice and smooth, he said, and the poor old infantry, he said, was the pack in his back, and he was walking down the road, one behind the other, and he said, in all weathers, he said, a new bloke used to pass us and go through the mud and sling it over us. And he said, I used to say to him, well, you could have joined the jury. No, he said, I didn't have a chance to join the jury, he said. He said, I only could go into the North Hampshire Regiment. he's dead now, you know what I mean?
And when you signed on, how many years did you sign on for?
I did 21 years, yeah.
From 1932 to 53?
Yeah.
So, in the Second World War, were you in any other battles apart from Cassino?
Well, we were, yeah. I mean, we were in Italy. I mean, we were in the River Po. We was on that battle. And we were on different areas. We were in Castelvaldino, and then we were in Bari when they blew the ammunition ships up in Bari docks.
What do you remember about that?
Well, we didn't know much about it. We were. I remember we were coming down into Bari to have a drink, and the police stopped us and said, you, it's out of bounds because the ammunition ships have been blown up. Not by aircraft, by sabotage, you know. So, that put the kibbers on that. But
did you have to do any rescue work?
That? No. We did no risk. Even if your crew was killed, all you did, you moved them from where they were and also pile them up at the back of the guns, you know. And then the medics used to come and take them away in sacks.
And in the River Po battle, how did that compare with Cassino?
The what?
You said the River Po battle.
Oh, yeah,
how did that compare with?
That was, I mean, we give infantry fire, but it was more of the infantry that was in that lot. I mean, we give them covering fire, but they go, because they're in the thick of it on the front line. And it's very, very awkward to explain about the artillery work, because I mean we're about 9 miles sometimes from the front line, you know, because of course, you mind you, a lot of them they call us the wrong lane snipers, you know, that's what they named us. But I mean no, I don't think. I'd never like to go through it again.
What were the officers like in the Royal Artillery that were over you?
Oh, they were good blokes. They were really good blokes. They were, they were really. I mean, I never. The only thing that I was a bit annoyed at, they sent the militia out. And them militia boys only had about 6 days training. And when the big push was, they drafted them all out there. Now, we had two on our gun, and he'd only been married on the Saturday. And he was out there. He was out there on the Tuesday, and he was on our gun. And we always said to him, never let that shield down, you know, never put that shield down, because you don't know where the snipers are, like, see. But that shield will save you if it's what him. Well, he was cleaning the gun, and I don't know, and he kept breaking down about his wife, you know, and he was only with her for about an hour after he got married and that, and, well, as we'd had the experience, we just told him that, you're out here now and you've got to look after yourself. I mean, it's no good. We're all the same, because I was married then. And one morning he got up, and I don't think he had a little dog he'd picked up. And he went to the gun, and he was moving the dial sight. And he lifted up the dial sight, and then he pushed the seal down, and he got shot right between the eyes. Yeah. And we had the job of taking the stuff out of his pocket and his stuff, because that all goes back to the family, his private stuff. And you know,
was that in 1914?
Yes, yes.
In Belgium?
Yes.
So, after the Second World War, were you in any other of the minor wars?
No. I was. I went to a territorial at Ennisdale Road, Lewisham. They were a 25-pound battery, and I went as a sergeant to them. You know.
How do you feel now about having served in the Royal Artillery in the Second World War?
Great. Great, I loved it, and I've always been artillery. I belong to the artillery at Woolwich now, and I'm glad I went into the artillery.
You were telling me earlier about being mechanised before the war. Can you give some details about that, please?
Yes. Well, in 1933... the British Army was getting mechanised and doing away with their horses, which we thought was very, very wrong, because the horses had played a great part in the 1914 war. And everybody that was had two horses to look after, they got to know them horses, and the horses got to know them, and they were great friends. And when it come that... we had to lead him out onto to the mall in Nowshera, which is a big open ground. And the old Indian Havildar, he had, like a German hand grenade. It's like a potato smasher. And they put a charge in the end, put it on the horse's forehead, and hit it with a stone, and down he goes. And it's instant death, and before they can hardly get the animal out of the way, the Indians take their skins, and then next minute the vultures come along, and in about a couple of hours there's only the bones of the horse that left. And we thought that when we had mechanized, we wouldn't have the work to do as we did with horses, because horses was 24-hour a day. I mean, you had to look after your horse, because if you didn't and anything went wrong with the horse, I mean, they used to tell you that they can get another soldier for 2 bob a day, but they can't get another horse for 2 bob a day. And the horses was, well, everybody got lighter. Well, then when we got mechanized, there was all this spit and polish, you know, spit and polish, and you'd go out, and before you ever done anything, you had to clean your vehicle and do all that sort of work, and you had more guards to do than when he was horse drawn. But I was always happy in the fight field artillery, and I had some really good times.
How many of these horses did you see them kill at Nowshera?
500. Mm. There was three batteries, and then of course they killed more the next day. They didn't kill them all at once, but the CO would not sell them to the Indians, because the Indians used to treat them bad, because they used to have in India what they called tonga wallas, which was like a little horse and trap. And we used to stop them many times and look about under their harness, and it was sores that were, you know, with the little treated him. So what we used to do, we used to pull him out of the doings, take the horse out of the shelf and give him a smack and let him go away. And that's what we used to do. I mean, our people never said anything to us for it, you know. But there it is. That's it, so.
But didn't the death of the horses frighten the ones that were still alive?
No, no, no. No. They were given a lot of the army could have got a lot of money from selling them horses to the Indians, but they wouldn't do it, no. The old brigadier that was in charge, now he said, no, they've give a good service, and he said, let them die in peace, you know. And that was it.
So whereabouts in Nowshera did they do this?
On a place they call the Mall. It's like a big continent, you know, where they do a lot of firing and target firing, you know, and where they do a lot of anti-tank shoots and that, you know. They have like dummy tanks on a rope and that, and they got an engine that pulls them, you know, and you can't see them from one minute, then you see them the next week, and up they come, and that's when they get the orders for firing. But it's very good, any route. So.
Were the gunners upset about all these horses being killed?
Oh, yes. I mean, we were. I mean, I've seen the blokes crying, you know, because a horse, once you take over a horse, you take over two horses, they come from the remounts, you train them, you clean them, you feed them, and you see that, because they have horses. Now you get two horses in a stable, there are to be boxes, there'll be two in this box and two in that one, and you have your name up on the door, and the horses' names as well. And the thing was, I mean, the horses used to have diseases such as colic, and that's like when we get the stomach ache. And you must never hold a horse up, when you never let him lie down when he's got stomach ache. You must put his head on what they call a short chain, the short chain that he can't lie down. And when you feed in the other horse, and they cry like a baby, you know. And it's a funny thing, when you had two horses, and they knew your voice, because when you went into the stable, they'd neigh like. But anybody else went into the stable, they'd start to move about, you know, wondering what they did. But they were, and we used to also play musical chairs with them. They used to just put a rope around a bit in, and a rein, and then they form a great big Wasima chairs, and each driver would get mounted, and the band would play, and they'd trot round, and as soon as the band finished, the bloke, not the horse, had to get on the seat, you know, on the seat. And the old horses used to push one another to make room for the bloke to get on the seat, you know. Oh, yes. And there was a lot of sports you could have with when you had the horses. But, I mean, another one. Now, in the Royal Tournament, what they do now is that they strip the guns down and the wheels off the vehicles and all that, and they have alarm stakes. And when the shot's fired, they have to get them wheels on, get the gun put together, and then fire around. Do it in teamwork, and who's first. Now, we used to have that, but with the horses would be in a field, and you'd not be far from them, and then they'd give the signal that harness up, well, anyone to get the horses, and the horses used to help, because they didn't move and all, you just got this all their harness on them, and then you went and they hooked into the gun. And then when the number one said fire, they fired. And then Moses used to help you, you know, right and left. So, still.
And when you said the horses cried,